You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to provide biblical answers to life's most important questions, to read the Bible for all it's worth, and counter the teachings of cults and world religions that deviate from the plumb line of God's Word, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, it is a delight to be in studio, particularly today because we are in the midst of a very raw experiment, and that is we're combining Facebook Live with the live Bible Answer Man broadcast. When I get some questions on Facebook Live, we'll answer those questions. When I get questions on the broadcast, I'm going to repeat them for my Facebook Live audience, but we're going to have a blast today. A couple of things that I want to say as we get started, do remember that our website is an important resource for you. We take that which is complicated, make it simple and transferable, and so you can find the best resources imaginable on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI. But we start the broadcast again. The number to dial to get your questions answered, 888-ASK-HANK. Start calling now. I'll get to your calls in just a moment. I want to start out with what happened in Iran. Now, some of you know that I was in Iran not all that long ago. It was the 33rd anniversary of the overthrow of the Shah of Iran. And during that time, I spoke at the University of Tehran and Ulema Tebetiba, the sociology university. And what I spoke on at the sociology university was particularly interesting. I talked about spontaneous activism spawned by social media. And now I'm using social media as a platform. But during that time, I met millions of peace-loving Muslims. Well, I didn't meet millions, but I saw so many. There are 12 million just in Tehran alone, I think. And I was routinely greeted by acts of kindness. When I'd go into a store, someone would make change for me. I couldn't use a credit card because that wasn't allowed. I couldn't use a phone or a computer. I was completely dead while I was in there. Well, dead in the sense that I was not alive to the outside world. But while I was in Tehran, I recognized once again how wonderful and how hospitable many Muslims are, particularly Persian Muslims. They have the gift of hospitality. But as I write in a brand new book, and you can see this, there's an ad in the back of our journal, Muslim, what you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion. By the way, 1.6 billion people on the planet are Muslim. And the vast majority of them want Sharia. And in Islam, Sharia is state and state is Sharia. In other words, no distinction between Sharia and state. So we have this growing problem. But many people do not know about the split between the Sunni and the Shia. And that split became very, very clear today with a terrorist attack on the mausoleum of the Ayatollah Khomeini, as well as deaths in parliament. Suicide bomber, I don't know all the details, but the split was exacerbated once again because Sunni Muslims are in a predominantly Shia country, and they are creating havoc. As many have well said, the Sunnis, particularly the Saudi Arabians, are a function of participating in exporting the most extremist values around the world. They're spending the money, hundreds of billions of dollars, oil money, and they have the organizational support. And they're doing this in many cases for ISIS, and ISIS claimed that they were the ones that were responsible for the attack that took place in Iran. But I have an article here in the Christian Research Journal. It's a cover story on the Sunni-Shia split. So let me tell you a little story about that because it's interesting. The Sunnis believe that there was a Jewish woman named Zainab, I think it was, and she poisoned Muhammad. So there's a lot of intrigue that surrounds the homicide of Muhammad. They think it's a function of a Jewish woman. The Khaybar Jews had just been defeated. Her husband, her uncles, her sons, her family members were killed. And so when she fed Muhammad a leg of lamb and Bishr, his accomplice, a leg of lamb, she had it poisoned. So the Sunnis think that the intrigue with respect to the homicide of Muhammad resides around a Jewish woman, a Khaybar Jew, killing Muhammad. It took almost 4 years. The Shias think this is absolutely absurd. This did not happen. It's not true. What really happened is that two of the wives, two of Muhammad's harem, were involved in killing Muhammad. So it was a conspiracy between Aisha, who you might recall Muhammad married when she was just six and consummated the marriage when she was nine, and Hafsa, the daughter of the second rightly guided caliph, that the two of them conspired to kill Muhammad. And so that is one of the great splits between Sunni and Shia Islam. But there's more. The split became ever wider because in 680, Hussein, who was the grandson of Muhammad, the son of Ali, the fourth rightly guided caliph and a blood relative, he finally got his chance. First it was the three rightly guided caliphs who were family members, and finally he got his turn. But he was murdered by Sunni Muslims, an extraordinary show of force. This was in 680. And as a result of that, the split began to widen even further. Now, I don't want to get in the weeds with you here, simply don't have time, but let me say this. The article lays all of this intrigue out. So if you're not subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, maybe you ought to do that. You can do that at equip.org. But one other point I want to make. There's a difference in their eschatology. The Shias believe that there's a seventh or a 12th Imam that is going to come out of hiddenness or occultation. And when he does, he's going to bring in, as it were, the Messianic kingdom. The Messianic kingdom being a kingdom in which everything will be in the house of Islam, Dar Islam. So this is the idea of the smaller sect within Islam. The larger sect, the Sunnis, say, no, what's really going to happen is not a Mahdi coming back, but Jesus is going to come back, and Jesus is going to break the crosses. He's going to kill the pigs. He's going to abolish the jizya, gangster tax. You know, if you're not a Muslim, you pay the tax, so they leave you alone, kind of a racket. And he's going to usher in this messianic age in which Islam is going to rule throughout the world. So the Sunni and the Shia are split on a lot of different issues, as I just mentioned. They are also united principally around the fact that all of them believe that there's only one God, that God is Allah, and Muhammad is his apostle. So read about that in the Christian Research Journal. Its relevance up to date, particularly in light of the terrorist attack. Also, I want to spend just a few moments talking to my daughter, Christina, So I'm going to turn the camera on her here. Of course, if you're listening to me on the broadcast, you probably can't see all this. But my daughter, Christina, I'm really proud of you, first of all. I mean, you've taken your life. You graduated from Wheaton, then you got a master's, and then you went to Hong Kong, and you were teaching a lot of young kids the Bible in Hong Kong. And you have always loved apologetics. Say just a couple of words about your love for apologetics. Why is it so important for Christians to be always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect?
Well, you might want to repeat what I'm going to say because I don't have a microphone.
Oh.
Yeah. So we didn't have enough time to do it. Do you want to repeat what I have to say?
Well, no. Oh, whoops.
I can do it later.
Whoops, we got a glitch here with our Facebook Live because they just dropped it. But what I was thinking is I'd just give you the phone. You could talk into the phone. So this is raw. We're doing Facebook Live at the same time as the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I think we're back online thanks to my son David. But yeah, Christina, just talking to this into my iPhone a little bit about why it is so important for Christians, particularly in a post-truth culture, to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within them with gentleness and with respect.
I can tell you that, but the radio can't hear me, so what do you want me to do? Do you want to repeat it?
Well, I guess we are not set to do this. I mean, no. Okay. So I was trying to do things that we were not prepared to do. I hope you like this kind of raw experiment here. I'm kind of digging it. Let's see if I can get this back on myself here. Okay, I'm back in view. And again, for those who just joined us, we are doing a little bit of an experiment, and that is we're doing Facebook Live and the Bible Answer Man broadcast live at the same time. I have produced a couple of self-inflicted wounds, some glitches. But let me take a question before we go any further. Let me go to the phone lines and talk to Mark. He's listening in South Dakota. He's listening on the web. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Hank. Fellow Orthodox brother here. got a hypothetical question for
okay.
you, Hank. You were dropped from a number of Christian radio stations when you became Orthodox. Hypothetically, suppose Martin Luther were alive today and he were to go to these same Christian radio stations and say, I would like to have a show called the Sola Scriptura Man. And knowing what Martin Luther taught, the real presence, baptismal regeneration, infant baptism, etc., would these Christian radio stations take on Martin Luther's show as the Sola Scriptura Man? Thank you.
You got it. I mean, that's a hypothetical question. I don't know what radio stations would do. What I can tell you is that people have dropped the Bible Answer Man broadcast, I think, partly out of ignorance. And I don't mean that in an offensive way. It's simply not understanding what orthodoxy is. There are so many misconceptions with respect to orthodoxy. It is as though many people today think that suddenly my life has changed, that I've converted to some new religion, that my 20-plus books don't count anymore, that I don't believe what I wrote in those books, and nothing could be farther from the truth. I will say that I have been submerged, as it were, in a treasure chest, and I haven't found the bottom of the treasure chest yet, so orthodoxy has very much enriched my Christian experience in so many ways. I did stake my life, my ministry, everything that I hold dear on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. And I did that in part because there's a humility that all of us need. Martin Luther did say that the unanimous agreement of church history was that Christ was really present in the elements. And so if Christ was really present in the elements, he could not go against the weight of history, nor could he go against the weight of the words of Jesus Christ himself. So we can debate this, and there was a great debate. I've talked about it on the Bible Answer Man broadcast in the Marsberg Castle. I think the year was 1529. Zwingli believed that the Eucharist was merely something to be celebrated occasionally. It was a memorial. Luther said, no, Christ is really present. I can't explain how. But he is really present in the Eucharist. So the question, I'm going to repeat next time so that those who are listening on Facebook can hear the question as well. But I think you get the gist of the question. We're coming to the station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, and the two books I talked about, Onward and The Benedict Option, both available for those who support the ministry this month, $100 or more. We'll be right back with more, so please don't touch that dial.
When militant secularists are willing to do more for their misguided and morally bankrupt notions than Christians are for a faith that once transformed the world, you don't need to be clairvoyant to imagine the potential outcome. Stem the tide and stand with the Christian Research Institute during the month of June. Simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure he has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are two timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org.
case you haven't noticed, the enemies of truth and Christian morality are now legion, and their numbers are growing daily. As Rod Dreher writes poignantly in The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, now the floodwaters are upon us, and we are not ready. For those who understand the stakes, retreat is not an option, and surrender is out of the question. That's why, as we redouble our efforts at CRI to equip fellow believers to stand for life and truth, it's vital that we finish this month, the end of our fiscal year, in a position of strength to help finish strong and prepare for the battles that lie ahead to protect the truth of the gospel and even our religious liberties. Please call 888-7000-CRI and make a generous gift, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. To say thanks for your support, we'll send you The Benedict Option. Well, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we're doing an experiment today. We're Facebook Live-ing it, as well as doing the Bible Answer Man broadcast at the same time. And do remember, if you want your questions answered live on air, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. You can also contact us via the mail, box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. A lot of ways to make contact, and this month, if I could make a plea from my heart, please stand with us prayerfully and financially. Without you, I could not do what I do, and our ministry is not just a broadcast ministry. It's not just a podcast ministry. It's not just vlogs. It's not just social media. It's a ministry equipping God's people around the world, and not the least of our ministry oracles or outreaches is this magazine, which is the Christian Research Journal. If you've never subscribed, this is a journal that you need in your home. A lot of people no longer familiar with print magazines, but this is one of those that we kept in print, not just online, because we're trying to marry content with presentation. The journal has many awards to its credit as a result of just that. It's a beautiful magazine. You can subscribe online at equip.org. I'm going to take one Facebook question, go right back to our live callers. Let me see if I can figure this one out. It is Jan. She's asking about Philippians 4:13. Please expand on that in context, which the context, I guess, is I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And one would say that, as Jan is pointing out, well, I can't grow a new foot. There are a lot of things I can't do. I can't make a squared circle. I can't make a one-sided triangle. What this passage is talking about, though, is not that. And this is a great example, I think, for people that study the Bible in recognizing that context. Even words change meaning depending on context. So you got to look at the context. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I've learned to be content, whatever the circumstances of my life. Now I have mantle cell lymphoma. I'm content. Whether I'm well fed, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or living in want, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. That's the context of the passage, Jan. And everything refers to obedience to God. It refers to that which pleases the Lord. I can do that by His Spirit. In fact, let me say this. When I say I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength, I'm not just talking about biological energy. I'm not just talking about capability or capacity. I'm living, as it were, in a field of energy that is not human. Now, I believe with all my heart that when I partake of the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, I'm partaking of created energy, for only God is uncreated. And so God is giving me the strength to do what I'm doing, not merely biological strength, but He's giving me a supernatural strength. To God be the glory. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't do anything in and of myself. I can't lead anybody to faith in Christ. Only the Holy Spirit changes the heart. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And all things that I do must be in accordance with the will of God. Let me go back to the phone lines. The number to dial 888 to ask Hank. And I'm going to remember to repeat the call for our Facebook listeners. Mike in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Quick, a couple of questions. One question and one statement I'd love for you to comment on. First question is, and I'm in my car, so I can't quote you the exact scripture, but in Hebrews 6, I believe it is, where it talks about losing your salvation, and there are two or three verses there that are pretty theologically deep, and I'm sure you know which ones I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Can you clarify or give me your thoughts and commentary on that particular scripture?
Yeah, I think... Excuse me. I think what's important about this particular passage and the question, I almost forgot to repeat it. So someone's calling, his name is Mike, and he's asking about what's going on, the profundity of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 6, but also there are other passages like Hebrews chapter 10, same idea. First thing I want to say about this is when you're talking about the book of Hebrews, you're talking about a book written to Hebrews. Right? Or Jews. And these Jews had tasted God's goodness. In other words, they knew about Jesus Christ. They agreed, at least principally or primarily, that Jesus Christ was Lord. And yet, they did not trust in Jesus Christ. Instead, they trusted in human traditions rather than holy tradition. So they didn't have what is called true saving faith. True saving faith means that you not only know about Jesus Christ and agree that He's Savior and Lord, but now you're depending on Him. And this is not a transactional dependence. It's an ongoing dependence. And that dependence is made possible through the graces that are dispensed within the pillar and the ground of truth, defined in 1 Timothy chapter 3:15 as the church. So I mentioned earlier the Eucharist. That is one of the graces that are dispensed to God's people so that we can live not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit, so that we can be a participant, a partaker, if you will, as Peter put it, of the divine nature. Doesn't mean we can become God, but we can be brought into the fellowship of the Godhead and experience what we were really called to experience, which is intimacy with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I mean, I think in Hebrews you read about people who had a said faith as opposed to having a real faith. But I'm also underscoring that if you have a true faith, you're not living it in isolation, and you are carrying forth that faith within the context of the body of Christ, where you are in a spiritual gymnasium. You are doing reps, as it were, just as you would with weights, so that you become strong spiritually. You do that through many practices. Can't get into all of them now. Prayer, obviously, is one. Getting in the Word, getting the Word of God into you is another. Certainly asceticism, in other words, a fasting and an almsgiving. All of that is part and parcel of maintaining disciplines that ultimately radically revolutionize our lives. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brandon. He's listening in Greensboro, North Carolina, and he's listening on the web. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how you doing, Hank?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. My question for you is, as a recent convert to Orthodoxy. I was curious about who your patron saint is and how you came about receiving that name and that patron saint.
Well, you get to choose. So the question that Brandon is asking is whether I have a patron saint. And yes, in Orthodoxy, you choose a patron saint. You choose someone that you want to emulate. Now, I chose a rather odd saint, as it were, someone that lived 80 years and died in 603. His name was John Climacus. Climacus is how it's typically pronounced, but a lot of people say Climacus. What it really means is John of the Ladder. And I chose that because he wrote a book called The Ladder of Divine Ascent. And in that book, there are 30 steps corresponding to the age of Jesus Christ when he started his earthly ministry. And what I loved about that book is there are just nuggets of wisdom peppered throughout the book. And I read it, it's sort of like savoring something that's sweet. I read it little chunks at a time, virtually every day, and the wisdom that it provides for me, very, very significant. And so a lot of people thought, well, he's going to want to have his patron saint be John the theologian or John Chrysostom, but I chose John Climacus. And the reason I did again is because here's a monk speaking to monks. He's talking about spiritual disciplines. I love spiritual disciplines. And he's got words and nuggets of wisdom and truth that are simply astounding to me. I told a story somewhere. I can't remember where I told it. I've been doing so many different documentaries and this and that and the other thing, so I can't remember if I told it on air or not. But let me repeat it. It's a great story. These robbers are going out to steal. And they know God sees them, and yet they continue on their path, knowing that Almighty God is watching them. And then all of a sudden, they hear the barking of a pack of dogs, and they turn away, and they don't carry out their thievery. That's one of those poignant nuggets of truth. You think about it. The more you think about it, the more profound it becomes. God is watching us. And oftentimes we're not afraid of God, we're afraid of dogs. We're afraid of what people might think if they see us. We're really not concerned about what God sees. It reminds me of Jeremiah, who said, "Am I speaking for the Almighty, am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I will not find him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" So these people had their dinky little idols, and they thought God was only a God nearby. Well, God is nearby. He sees everything. He's with us. But he also sees everything in total. God is not only immense, immutable, ineffable, but he's also personal. And he is watching what we do. And if we order our life around the divine, he will give our lives meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. Coming back in just a few moments with a quote of the day. More questions, number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Trying to see if we can sneak in a Facebook question or two. We'll be right back.
As the erosion of truth and hostility against Christians continues to gain momentum, Christians must stand together for life and truth, no matter the cost. Stand together with the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. To make a special gift to CRI, simply call 888-7000-CRI and support CRI's life-changing outreaches or visit equip.org. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so stay tuned.
Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. We are witnessing the advent of a post-truth culture wherein social headwinds against common sense and basic decency and civility are ferocious. The fact is, we as Western Christians are in the fight of our lives, and for now, we are losing on multiple fronts. That is why we want to put into the hands of thinking Christians everywhere two very timely books, Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher. These resources will equip you to do your part in turning the tide. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Moralistic therapeutic deism is colonizing Christian churches, destroying biblical Christianity from within. Yet Rod Dreher believes that by rediscovering the past, recovering liturgical worship and asceticism, centering our lives on the church community, and tightening church discipline, we will, by God's grace, again become the peculiar people we should have always been. To equip you in addressing the natural religion of a culture that worships the self and material comfort, read Rod Dreher's book, The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation. To receive your copy of The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Let's return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. This is an experiment, a raw experiment. We are combining the Bible Answer Man broadcast with a Facebook Live. You can tune in, Bible Answer Man Facebook Live, if you're listening to me on the broadcast. This will be archived, so you can see this. I was kind of showing around what I do, how I get to the studio, what the studio looks like. So if you want to see all of that, you can see that on Facebook Live. Also want to mention that we're into social media in a big way. I started my own podcast. I'm really excited about this. I did the teaser for it, and then I did the first episode. It'll be out very, very soon. So you should go to iTunes and sign up. For the podcast on iTunes. Is there a better word for that? Sign up?
Subscribe.
Huh?
Subscribe.
Subscribe. You got to subscribe on iTunes. And so go to iTunes and subscribe for the podcast. I think you'll love it. The first podcast I did with Frederica Matthews Green, and it was absolutely stunning. A lot of people said, it's fun to be a fly on the wall and listen to that conversation. We talked about everything you can imagine, particularly as related to Orthodoxy and my conversion to Orthodoxy and my cancer and a whole lot more. Answered a lot of questions about misconceptions about Orthodoxy. The podcast, by the way, if you're looking for the title, it's called Hank Unglued. No, it's called Hank Unplugged. So you can find that on iTunes. That's where you subscribe. And, well, let's get to the quote of the day. It's by Tom Landry. Many of you know that I love the NFL. I love sports. I played golf at a fairly high level for many years. I'm not able to play golf right now, but I'm hoping I will be in the future. One of my heroes in the area of football was Coach Tom Landry. But it was not just because he was a great football coach. He was a great man. And he personified the disciplines that I love so much. The quote of the day, a good coach, said Tom Landry, will make men do what they don't want to do in order to achieve what they've always wanted to be. Now, that's one thing when it comes to football. It's quite another when it comes to living the Christian life. We are to do those things we might not want to do in order to be the kind of people we've always wanted to be. And that is Christians, followers of Christ, those who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. We can take a Facebook question, and then we'll take some more live questions. This is from Dawn. Excuse me. She's asking about Samson. Do I think that Samson committed suicide? This is a story that I was just listening to on my audio Bible, Judges chapter 16. And really what we have with Samson is that he sacrificed his own life for his own people, which is a far cry from committing suicide. Suicide is a form of murder, right? And we're told in the Ten Commandments, Sixth Commandment, thou shalt not murder. So what Samson did, and it's kind of an epic story, he reaches his arms out and grabs two pillars, and he pulls the temple of the Philistines down, and he kills more people in his own death than he did during his own life. Now, is this suicide? No. This is sacrifice. You think of someone who is in wartime and sees a grenade that's about to go off and kill a platoon. And that person lands on the grenade and stops the grenade from going off. And we would say that's a self-sacrificial act. As far as Samson as a whole is concerned, I mean, you read it, listen to it in Judges. It's an incredible story of intrigue. It's an incredible story of, over and over again, Samson failing the Lord, being drawn away by the lust of the flesh, by the world, by the devil. And ultimately, I leave his life in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. It's quite a story. It's worth reading. It's absolutely true. It corresponds to history. But I would call this not suicide. I'd call this self-sacrifice. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Larry. He's in Long Beach, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Hank, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Good to hear from you again. Last time I saw you was in Cerritos.
That was fun.
Good. Yeah. I have a question. Listening to John MacArthur teaching on giving this week, and he mentioned today that tithes is not a New Testament thing. It was free will given. He said in the Old Testament, it was a government requirement. And also he said everyone has the weak argument that, well, tithes begin before the law and after the law, so it should continue after the law. Then he said, well, we have a question. We have a problem here because the Sabbath was before that and is never and never mentioned again in the New Testament. And also he used animal sacrifice. And to me, that's a weak argument because I believe that we still do celebrate the Sabbath today through Jesus Christ, the resurrection, and we also and he's also our final sacrifice. So those things still do continue in the New Testament. So I wanted to see your take on that.
Yeah. So let me repeat the question for our Facebook audience. It's a question about tithing. You know, are we to tithe in the New Testament context or not? And what I always think about in this regard is what Moses said. We tithe in order that we might learn to revere the Lord our God always. And from my perspective, reverence for God is a universal principle. The tithe, and MacArthur's right, I mean, it's a subject of profundity in the Old Testament. But the tithe ultimately is, I love what Randy Elkhorn once said. He said, the tithe is the training wheels of giving. In other words, when you learn to tithe, then you learn to trust in God. And when you learn to trust in God, you begin to recognize that the arm of God is far more significant than the arm of flesh. So tithing, I think, is a great way to begin. Training wheels, as it were. But it's also true to say in the New Testament that what you find there is an emphasis on free will giving, meaning that you hold everything that you have with an open hand so that God can put in and take out as he sees fit. So we want to not give out of duress. We want to give as an expression that we trust God more than we trust our own resources, that we truly believe that we cannot outgive the Lord. In my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated, I have a whole section on tithing, and or an entry on tithing. If you don't have this book, do remember, for those who join CRI's monthly support team, I'll send the book out to you, a family member or a friend, personalized. I personalize it to you, a family member or a friend. We need many people. This month, we're trying to get 100 people to join CRI's monthly support team. This is our Make It or Break It month. Please stand with me prayerfully or financially. Whether you're listening to me on the broadcast or on Facebook Live, please stand with me. I can't do what I do without you. I've taken some hits. Of course, that's nothing new. I took a lot of hits over the years. And God has always been faithful. Sometimes I wonder, God has been faithful before. He's going to be faithful again. Whenever that thought enters my mind, I recognize, wow, oh ye of little faith. One of my prayers today on the treadmill as I was getting ready to do the show was, Lord Jesus Christ, I put all of my faith and trust in you. I trust you alone. I don't trust my own resources. I trust you alone. And so I put our finances, our needs on the altar, let you know about it. Hope you can participate. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. The resources, I'm not going to go over them because I simply don't have time. The resources I talked about, you can find on the web. They're fantastic, available for those who support the ministry, and they'll equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Bill in Champaign, Illinois, Sirius XM 131. Bill, we only have a couple of minutes left, so if you can make it quick.
Hi. Thank you, Hank. I appreciate this. I'm a Baptist, and of course, our understanding is that the actual and real presence of Jesus Christ is not in the bread or the wine. Now, I'm not trying to put anybody on the spot, but I just wonder, I mean, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm sorry, but does, in your opinion, does that mean, therefore, that I am not saved?
Of course not. Here I have a question from Bill, and cut it off here. Bill got the point across very quickly. Thank you, Bill. His question is, if you have the memorialist view of the Eucharist or the Lord's Supper, does that mean you're not saved? No, obviously not. God has his people everywhere. If there's one thing I have learned, last year I traveled to 8 different countries and spoke. There's one thing I've learned, God has his people everywhere. I'm promoting Russell Moore's book, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel. I think Russell Moore is an outstanding example of a Southern Baptist Christian. We couldn't do without C.S. Lewis or G.K. Chesterton. We couldn't do without the Anglican Common Book of Prayer. We couldn't do without the Nicene Creed, which we got through the Orthodox community. So I'm certainly not saying that at all. What I am saying, however, is that I'm willing to stake my life and ministry on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and that for me is no longer just academic. It is experiential. So I do believe in the real presence of Christ, as the church has throughout most of its history. That's a debate we can have, a discussion we can have, but in no way do I think that those that hold a memorialist view of the Eucharist are unsaved. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, counting down 18:17. We're going to be off in just a moment. Enough time to say we do what we do because life and truth matter. And without you, I can't do what I do. So I'm deeply grateful for those who stand with me shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. Given all that's at stake, we're asking all of our friends to stand with CRI this month with their prayers and generous financial support. To make a genuine difference in our fight for life and truth, and to receive your copy of The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Some might piously claim that saving our future as Christians and free people is all up to God. That's not only naive and misguided theology, it also makes a mockery of our calling to be stewards of God's creation and to be faithful in the use of the resources of time, talent, and treasure He has entrusted to us. Onward, Engaging the Culture Without Losing the Gospel by Russell Moore, and The Benedict Option, A Strategy for Christians in a Post-Christian Nation by Rod Dreher are 2 timely books that will equip you to stand well in our modern times. To receive your copy of Onward and or The Benedict Option as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.